A baby changes everything. This morning, I'm going to be brief because we have a great long day ahead of us with our banquet tonight, but I do have a critical word. God's word is always a good word. This morning, I want to talk about adoption, the placing of a son. And immediately following our service, those of you who'd like to stay, we will witness a beautiful dedication ceremony of two naturally born siblings, two brothers now becoming sons in a permanent family. But then adoption is also a spiritual doctrine. A lot of things happen when we're born again. Salvation, justification, regeneration, sanctification, redemption, and adoption is one of the things that begins when we're born again. I want to talk about that one this morning, adoption. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son." Now, we could stop right there and think, well, this is going to be a great Christmas message. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his son. We're celebrating that all over the world in just a few days. Born of a woman, born under the law. That's so very important. That we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Now, when this was written under Roman law and in the culture of their day, 2,000 years ago, adoption was a word that everybody knew full well what it meant. Today, that word in our culture, in our vernacular, we know what it is to see natural families bring into their home, embrace them as one of their own sons or daughters. We know what adoption is, but let's take a close look for a few minutes this morning at the spiritual doctrine. The Word of God says we have received the Spirit of adoption as sons. That makes us sons and daughters of God. And it puts us in a position to where we are able to look at God for the first time after adoption and call him Father. Many people who have not yet been adopted do not know who their father is. But when they are adopted, there is that moment for the first time in their experience, in their life, where they can look at the Father and call him Abba, Father. It's heart to heart. That was especially important in Bible days and the days when our scripture was written, because back then it was one thing to be a servant or even a slave to a master. That was one thing. But when the Father showed a special favor to a servant in the house, not blood kin at all, no relation at all biologically, but when the master of the house loved a servant, he had the option and the opportunity to adopt that servant and say to him, you are no longer a servant. From now on, you are a son. And there's that moment where the adopted son is able to look at that man and call him Abba, Father. Now, the adoptive parent assumes permanent responsibility. So when God adopted us into his family and made us sons of God, then God is assuming full permanent responsibility for his children. It will never end. Even when you're no longer a minor, you still have God the Father, your adopted father. And there's a strength that comes with this adoption biblically. And there's no legal difference between an adopted child and a natural biological child. None at all. We saw that in the courtroom just a few weeks ago when Justin and Amber were called before the judge on the day that they became permanent adoptive parents to Jonah and Zeke. And we saw that Justin and Amber loved those two adopted boys just as much as they love Griffin. And Griffin loves them like brothers. You know, and true love, in case you don't know it already, is not limited to race or the color of a person's skin or to a financial social class. In the family of God, there's every color, every race, every, some are beautiful people and some not so beautiful, but God, there's some, God has his people everywhere. And because of the doctrine of adoption, it's a biblical witness of what explodes in our spirit when we realize I can call him Father. He's taken permanent responsibility for me in my life. And there's no legal difference now that I'm adopted between me being his son and Christ being his firstborn son. Every right that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has, all of us have because we were adopted. It's the exact same position and privileges as a natural born child. And the same legal standing and the same inheritance. Now this under the law, in the fullness of time, God sent his son into the world. He was born of a woman. He had to become like us. We couldn't become like God, so he became like us and made a way. When we couldn't get to him, he came to us like a baby, but he was born of a woman. And he was born under the law. Under the law simply says he was born like everybody else that was born other than God the Father provided the sperm. The Greek word sperma is a word for God's word spoken. And Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. We know that from John 1. But he was born under the law. Now, all of us were born under the law. So was Christ. That means sin. We were born into a sin nature. And that means that sin had legal custody over our lives. If you were born under the law, and all of us were, we were born with a sin nature, and sin had a legal right to custody of our natural life. Hey, hello. We are not God's children by nature. We're not born a natural birth knowing God. But adoption requires that the natural birth parents give up their rights to legal custody of the child. So we were born in sin, and even Christ, who knew no sin, was born under the law. But when we are adopted by God, the former master who had custody of our life, which was Satan, is required to give up his rights of custody over us. We have a new father now who's adopted us. We've become sons of God and sons of light and no longer sons of darkness. Born in sin, then adopted by God, requiring the enemy to give up his parental rights to custody. That's a legal thing. And adoption allows parents to share their love with a child who needs it. And when God the Father adopted us, he knew we were a child who needed his love. Now, many children are adopted and are never aware of it, at least not early in their life. And sometimes they will find out much later in their life that they were adopted. I think that's the same way it is spiritually. There's a room full of people, and two kinds of people in this room this morning. Those who are adopted and know it. And those who've been adopted but don't know it yet. Wouldn't it be good if somebody was able to see the truth for the first time that God is your Father, He chose you, He adopted you, and sin no longer has a legal custody to rule and reign and dictate to your life? You have a new master, a loving Father who loved you so much that He only had one son, only one. He said, but I love everyone so much, everyone that is and will ever be. I'm willing to give up the only one I have in order to gain so many by adoption. It's a powerful principle. I remember Lulu Roman standing right here many years ago. How many remember Hee Haw and Lulu Roman, God love her? She has had a tragic life in many ways. All that changed on a dime for her. She was here sharing her testimony many years ago. She's a great singer, too, and she sang on Hee Haw for many years. Gospel singer, a tremendous Christian lady. But she stood right here after her first concert on a Sunday morning with us. And after her first song, in fact, she stopped the music and she said, I was born in a hospital for unmarried mothers. She said, my mother left me at the hospital when I was one day old. She said, I never, to this day even, don't know who my father was. She said, I grew up in an orphanage with other boys and girls my age who had no family. And she said, but I would see families come in from time to time and get so excited about one of the other boys and girls in the orphanage, and they would be adopted, and they would have a forever home by a family who adopted them and loved them. And she said, but nobody ever adopted me. And she said, because nobody wanted the fat little girl. I mean, everybody was crying around here. That was a horrible beginning of a testimony. But she quickly got to the bottom line and said, in essence, but the day came when I realized I had a father who loved me enough to adopt me and take responsibility for my life. There was that moment in Lulu's life when she no longer had to wonder, where is God? She was able to look at Him and her heart cried out, Father. It's the doctrine of adoption. And so if you are not aware that you've been adopted by a heavenly Father, may a light bulb come onto you today. Now listen, it gets even better, and I'm moving quickly. In John chapter 15, in verse 16, Jesus said this, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You know, I always thought I found the Lord. I didn't find Him. He found me. And He found you. I always thought I chose Him. And we eventually have to agree with the choice, but He first chose me. And He first chose you. And then He said, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Now that's important too. There's a legal connection there. Jesus is saying I chose you. I've appointed you. That choosing is another word for adoption. I adopted you. I picked you out. I selected you. I elected you. All these are doctrines too. The doctrine of election. Read up. Good stuff. But he said, I chose you so that whatever you ask the Father, he will give you when you use my name. Now, boy, there's a transfer of authority right there. And then to be adopted by God is to be chosen by God. Just want you to know you've been chosen. I'm not the only one chosen. You're just as chosen. I love all my children equally. I'm sure you do too. Aren't our children different though? No two children are alike, but as the Father in me loves them equally. And God does that for us too. God, don't you know how much he loves his son Jesus? He loves every other son he has and daughter too, just as much as he loves his son Jesus. Jesus is no longer God's only son. He used to be the only begotten son, but when he gave his life, he became the first of many who would be born. And this is born again by the Spirit and by the Spirit of adoption. This is what God's word says about being chosen. John 15:19 says, Jesus said, I have chosen you out of the world. John 13:18, Jesus said, I know whom I have chosen. Are you having second thoughts? Are you having doubts? Man, I'm not sure the Lord really. I'm not sure I'm in here by his choice. Oh, no, he says, I know whom I've chosen. In 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Psalm 89:3, God said, I have made my covenant with my chosen. God's all about choosing us, adopting us. Psalm 33:12, blessed are the people whom God has chosen for his own inheritance. We should all be excited about our inheritance. We are sons of God and heirs of God. Now, even in the Old Testament, God was into choosing. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 10:15, the Lord delighted in loving your forefathers, and he chose their seed. That has trickled down to all of us. We are the seed of our forefathers, and God was delighted even to choose them and their seed after them. In the New Testament, here's what a difference being chosen by God and being aware. Some of you maybe for the first time today might become aware, oh my God, I've been chosen, adopted by God. I can call him Father. When Saul of Tarsus was the Osama bin Laden of his day, he was a heathen, he was raised Jewish and got way off track, and became a terrorist, started killing Christians in the early church. Everybody feared him, Saul of Tarsus. But God spoke to Ananias, a godly man, and said, Saul of Tarsus is getting ready to visit you. Ananias said, oh, no, I don't want anything to do with that. But God spoke to Ananias and said, Saul, Osama bin Laden, Saul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Now, of course, Saul became aware, and he had to agree with it. It was a dramatic day in his life on that road to Damascus. So Saul was knocked off of his horse. He was blinded for a few days, couldn't even see. It was a spiritual and supernatural experience for him. And he found his way into town and found his way to Ananias. And Ananias spoke to him and said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you might know his will. Now, when you're adopted, when you're chosen to be a part of a family, when you are placed as a son by adoption into a family, it's important what's in your father's will. The day will come when it's important. God, the Father, says to us, you know, if I adopt you, you're going to have the same fellowship Jesus has with me as my son, as my daughter. Jesus is saying to us today, you know, if I adopt you, you're going to be in my will and remembered in my inheritance as my son, just as much as Jesus, my oldest son, will be. So that's good news. And then it gets better when Jesus said, you know, I've already decided to adopt you. In Romans 8:15, you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, adoption gives us a new standing with God. No longer is he the big man in the sky. No longer is he limited to the image that we've developed in each of our minds. It's different from one of us to another of what God might be like, what he might look like. I mean, no more. We're able to look at him knowing he chose me to be a part of his family. He chose me to be a son. He adopted me, and everything he has is now mine. I have a new standing before God. A servant used to never be able to walk in to the master's house and call him father. Not a servant. Only a son could do that. Have you called him father? Do you know who your father is? God the Father is already our father. I hope you know that and celebrate it. He doesn't have to pay anything else. He doesn't have to give up any more sons. Jesus doesn't have to die again or suffer any way at all. The price has already been paid in full. And there are two options. Submitted to the spirit of bondage, again to fear, that's what the verse just told us, or being submitted to the spirit of adoption and calling Father. That's the two options. One is a dark place. The other is marvelous light. The two options: remain in bondage to fear, or let go of that and submit to the spirit of adoption and know who your Father is. Galatians 4:7, I'm closing with this. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If you're glad you're a son or a daughter of God, raise your hand. Put them down. Aren't you glad you're also an heir and you're in his will? I'm glad I'm adopted. Father, thank you for the spirit of adoption that's hovering over this church and our family on this most special day. Thank you that you have brought all of us from an outer court into the most holy place by adopting us and calling us your sons and daughters, and by giving us the opportunity to stand before you and call you Father. So I speak blessing over your people now. I pray that during this time of year there would be peace and joy and love ruling and reigning in our homes, in our marriages, in our families. And I pray that the peace of God that we all will feel in an intense way on Christmas Day, all of us, that peace will linger and remain strong every day throughout the new year that's coming. Blessings and favor over the lives of your people today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.